The reason that you have the other activities is in order that this final activity should be accomplished. And what is this activity that man was created for? That is to understand the abstract concepts and the knowledge of the truth with clarity. Because, he says, it is absolutely false to maintain that the purpose of man is to eat and to drink, or to have intercourse, or to build houses, or to be a king, because all these things are just temporary things, and they don't add anything to his essence. And moreover, he says, moreover, these things are shared by the animal kingdom as well. So there will be no purpose in having man, because man is supposed to be differentiated. He says, and that which really adds to his essence, to man's essence, and takes him from one step to another, mimatzav al matzav, he says, that is only... That is, he takes from one step to another. What it means by taking from one step to another, I want you to understand. It means that the in man is a different type of a being, that his internal self, the core, keeps changing. Because as he gains knowledge, he leaves the whole way of life that he had before, and he has a new frame of reference. He starts revolving around a new center as he gains knowledge. And any person who has gained knowledge, if they will reflect about the ideas and the way they lived 5 years ago or before they had this knowledge, they'll find that all their decisions would have been different. Their whole life has changed because of knowledge. So you see that man, when his knowledge changes him, he becomes a different essence. And he is the only one that has such a thing. He says, now before a person attains knowledge, he says, he's just like an animal. Because a man isn't different from the animal except through his intellect. All right, if you take a look, in other words, if you just take a look at man's products, take a look at New York City, look at the city. Now, obviously, animals don't have the same type of environment. Why? And that is essentially the difference. The difference is because man has the ability to think. That is the only difference. That's the central difference. So he says like this. He says, and the most abstract idea, so therefore man was, the essence of man is really his knowledge. That's what differentiates him from the other beings. And if God created the other beings for man, it must be for that which differentiates man from the other beings. In other words, if God created man for the purpose that the other animals should have a purpose, he's the purpose of the other animals, so it must be that there's something different in him than the other animals. Otherwise, why should one animal be the purpose of another animal? So there must be some differentiating factor. What's the differentiating factor? Obviously, his intelligence. Now, since his intelligence is really his essence, that's really what he is, so the only activity that everything leads up to has to be this activity of the intellect, of the mind. And what is the finest and purest activity of the mind? It's perceiving the abstract concepts. So he says, and the most abstract concept is the knowledge of God's oneness. So he says, because all the other sciences are really only a build-up to that one idea. Now he says like this. He says, in order for a person to really have that knowledge, he has to reach his knowledge, he has to keep away from the tivus, from his desires. He says, because Korban ha-nefesh b'tikun ha-guf. B'tikun ha-nefesh b'chorban ha-guf. That the soul becomes great when the physical is destroyed, when the body is destroyed. And the body, if it's, and conversely, the tikun ha-nefesh is only if the korban ha-nefesh b'tikun ha-guf and tikun Right. So if the body is weak, so then the mind is strong. If the body is strong, then the mind is weak. All right. Now he says like this. He says, because if a person runs after, that's what I told you, the type of knowledge Ram's talking about is not technical knowledge, because technological advancement, you'd be involved in tremendous divers, you could still have it. He's talking about the knowledge that gives a person happiness. Now he says like this. He says, if a person values the physical, so in that sense, he's just like an animal. That only have in their imagination, the only thing they contemplate in their imagination is food and sea. I mean, that's what an animal imagines. When a dog has a dream, it's always about a good bone. Those of you who read the comics know that. Now, so then, if a person lives that way, so it's impossible for him to really perceive the abstract ideas. Alright? Now it's like this. So you see from this one thing. You see that the purpose, what the purpose in this world is. The purpose of this world is a person that has knowledge, and a person who has good characteristics, and when there is a person like that, this species of man, who has the knowledge and the action, means again, he lives according to the true way, he says, that person is the objective of everything. So I want you to know, he says, that this, what we have mentioned, not only the prophets knew this. He says, but even the Chachomim, the philosophers of the other nations knew this as well. Even though they didn't see the Nevi'im. And they never heard their words. But they knew that the only purpose of life is for man to understand the abstract ideas. He says, I'll just quote to you one of the great philosophers. He said, one of the great philosophers says that God's purpose for us is that we should be Nevonim Tzadikim. That was Aristotle said that. So you see that the philosophers knew this truth also. Because the Rambam maintains that this concept that the Torah says that the whole purpose of man's existence is, and the greatest things to pursue the abstract, isn't something that only the Torah could tell you, because it's true. So if a person is a tremendous chacham, he can figure it out himself. And they were chacham that thought of it themselves. Okay.
June 19th, 1983.
Question with relationship to what the purpose of the creation is. You could say that the Rambam says everything on this earth is created for man. The question is, so why was man created? So the answer is you can't answer that question. Man was created because it's an expression of God's nature to create. That's all. I mean, you understand when I use every word I use here is you have to understand is only a metaphor. You can't say God's nature. He doesn't have a nature like we envision nature. But these words are used like the Rambam says homonymously. So ultimately, you can't go beyond that. You cannot go beyond that. Like I said, most people think that everything was created for man, and they don't ask why man was created. It doesn't bother them because it appeals to the egocentricity. But the truth of the matter is, logically, rationally, so you have to ask, so why was man created? So the answer, it can only be one thing. It's an expression of man was created not as a means for something else, but man was created as an inherent creation, part of an expression of God's nature to create. Okay? Now the Rambam says that the rest of the universe was not created for man. It's also an expression of God's nature to create. Okay, do you understand? That's the ultimate answer. The ultimate answer can never have an ultimate answer. The ultimate answer has to relate back to God. It has to be an expression of God's nature. That's the ultimate answer. Okay. It doesn't mean that man cannot benefit from explorations in space. It only tells you about the purpose in the creation. In other words, why things were created for man. That's it. Doesn't mean that man can't benefit from something external. Doesn't mean that. It could be, but it wasn't created for him. Yes?
What about the fact that...
I drew the line when it came to Earth. But where you draw the line, I mean, is not so easy to decide. But the line you have to draw somewhere is, because there are galaxies out there that definitely have no shackles to man. I mean, and that's a fact that they're that the galaxies, I mean, are in existence for billions of years, and they have no shackles to man at all. It's impossible to say that these galaxies have anything to do with man. It's irrational. Okay. What? Don't ask questions from Pshat and Bereishis, because the Rambam makes it clear in many places that we have a Mesorah from Chazal, that the Parsha of Bereishis, those are first Parshas, are not to be taken literally, because there is tremendous knowledge and wisdom in those Parshas, and you cannot ask anything from Pshat in those Parshas, because they're not to be taken literally. You cannot understand those Parshas. There's a Mesorah on that. That's the Mesorah in the second parak in Chagiga. The Mishnah says, "Yeah, no, you just can't." Yeah. Yes, it's important for man to have knowledge of his place in the universe. And if he has a misconception, it's very bad for him, because then he can't live in line with reality. Reality is the universe, and of course, the source of the universe. Now, the only way we can know we can have an accurate idea of what we are, and what our position is, and hence what our life is, and hence how we should live, is based upon an accurate knowledge of our position in the universe. And if we have a misconception, then we can't live properly. Okay. The fact that there are stars that are light years away, so the question of age, you have to remember that the Mesorah was very clear, that these parshas in the beginning of the Torah are to be taken in a different way than the other parshas. So it's a different thing. That's the Mesorah, I mean. All right, that Mesorah predated all the modern scientific knowledge. Okay. The Rambam continues, everything was created for man, and now the question is, what was man created for? Right? And the Rambam says that of all the activities that man has in his nature, there's only one activity which the Chachomim came to the conclusion is his essence, defines his essence, and is the purpose for which he was created. And that is Chachmah, that is knowledge. Which means that man's activity in life is to enjoy Chachmah, appreciate Chachmah. That's his purpose, to appreciate Chachmah. Now he says like this, the Rambam says that, Right. Now it's like this. Just a second. Right, now he says, now the Rambam says like this, and what is the highest thought that man can reach? The highest thought is the knowledge of God's unity. That's the highest thought. He says, and every other knowledge is only a means to gain to get to that knowledge. Stepping stone. He says, and to explain this is would require a tremendous amount of length. Yeah. Okay. Now it's like this. Now the Rambam goes back. So the highest knowledge is Achdus Hashem. Man has many activities and functions. All these functions are only for knowledge. Knowledge itself is there are different types of knowledge. The ultimate knowledge is knowledge of the unity of God, and therefore every knowledge is only for that knowledge. All right. Now the Rambam's like this. The Rambam says, but he says in order to conceive the abstract notions, the abstract thoughts, he says it is required that a person removes himself from the physical enjoyments. He says because the famous name, Shechorban HaNefesh B'Tikun HaGuf, V'Tikun HaNefesh B'Chorban HaGuf. He says, because man, when he runs after taivas, and he allows the physical senses to gain strength over his soul, he says, he removes, his seichel is removed. He goes from his seichel to his taivas. Until he becomes like an animal, if he keeps going in that direction. wherein a person reaches the point that the only thing that he has in his mind is eating and drinking and intercourse. He says that's all his mind is capable of thinking about. He says, then in that case, he says, the metaphysical knowledge, the seichel, will not be known to him. All right. Now it's like this. Boy, he says, the only thing that man is created for is two things, knowledge and maisa. Now, what is knowledge? Knowledge is that he should be able to entertain in his mind the true metaphysical ideas. And maisa is that he should be able to have control over his instincts, so that he should only take what's necessary for his physical existence. And also it means ethical perfection. That's what maisa means. We explain many times what Chazal mean when they say that gadol limud shemevi lidei maisa. You know, what does it mean, gadol limud shemevi lidei maisa? A lot of people have a mistaken notion. They think it means that Torah is important because you do the maisa mitzvah, shalit the maisa mitzvah. That's not true. It's false. Because in Yadis, Torah itself is the biggest maisa. That's the biggest, that's the greatest thing. Maisa means living in accordance, when a person lives in accordance with a true idea. That's what maisa means. Maisa doesn't mean maisa on mitzvah, in contradistinction to Torah. It's wrong. Maisa means when a person lives philosophically the right way. That includes learning, includes Torah. Torah is also maisa. Torah is also maisa. Okay. Now he says like this. He says, and I want you to know that not only Chazal knew this, not only did we know it from the Nevi'im, but this fact was known among other nations, philosophers, who never heard about the Nevi'im. And they never saw the Nevi'im and never heard their Chochmah. But they also knew that a perfect individual is only one who has two things, Das, knowledge, and who lives in accordance with a philosophical life, which means a deprivation of the taivas. He says, and let me just quote one famous, well-known philosopher who said that God wants us to be nevonim chasidim. God wants us to be knowledgeable people who are chasidim. When a person, she'ha'odam kishiyeh chacham navon, he says, a person who is a very intelligent individual, he says, who runs after his taivas, he says he's not really a chacham, he's not really a wise man. He says, because the beginning of wisdom dictates that a person should not take of the physical pleasures only what is necessary for himself in order to maintain his physical health. All right? And when we finish Masechta Avos, we will complete this thing and we will explain it according to what is necessary. And this is what the Navi means when the Navi says you should not be, the Chacham should not be Mishal B'Chachmasa. It means that the Chacham should not say, a Chacham who is Moreh B'Mitzvah and runs after his taivas, he says, yeah, that's right, it's worthless. And he says also, Echatamr Chacham Manachnu V'Taras Hashem Itanu, he quotes from Yirmiyo, that what it means, what the psukim mean is that a person cannot maintain, that he's really a chacham, he lives a life of chachma, when he still runs after his taivas. Okay. Now he says like, okay. Now the question like this. What we have to understand is, why is this so? Why is it so? Why can't it be that a person can enjoy his taivas? What's so terrible if a person looks forward to eating supper? See, the Rambam says no. The Rambam says that a person is on the highest level, has no, cannot eat for enjoyment. That's what Rambam says. And if he does, so then he does it for his, he does it to satisfy his taivas. So the Rambam says, then he cannot be on the level. Why not? Why is it impossible? Why can't a person? We know there are many chachamim in the world, big balei taivas, very good minds. They study, they have knowledge. I mean, why can't it be? Why does the Rambam say it's impossible? True that a person who is into taivas will not be able to think objectively. Because into taivas means, you see, the thing is like this. You have to understand over here that what the Rambam maintains. See, the Rambam maintains that a person doesn't just eat for enjoyment out of an isolated activity. See, what the Rambam means is like this. The Rambam means is that there are two different worlds that a person is involved in. A person who's involved in taivas is not just eating. He's eating for the sake of taiva. It's not just an isolated event. What it means is basically there's a whole world that he's involved in. The taivas are more than just a specific activity. That's what people make a mistake. They think, one taiva, what's the big deal? But the thing is, it's a manifestation of the world in which the individual is. See? And that world is the world of a very primitive part of man, an early part of man. So it's not just the eating. Eating is one manifestation. And any taiva that the person is involved in is really comes from a whole system. We one time spoke about it. We called it the system of psychological reality. A person doesn't just eat for an isolated taiva. Eating is a representative of a whole frame of mind. The desire for food is really more than just a specific. That's why it's so hard for people to control it. People say, how come a person can't control his eating so hard? It's difficult because it's not what meets the surface, not just eating. Eating carries with it a whole system that from the past. And this system, you see, the person who caters and who is involved in the taivas is really tied to this primitive past, you see. Ki yetzer lev adam ra min urav. He's tied to that state of urav. And the only person that can really see chachma objectively is a person who is in a different system of reality. That's the objective reality. If he's in that system, then he has a chance to see the truth. He will not be able to see it in the lower system because there are so many emotions that are swaying him and pulling him that he cannot possibly reach the ideas. It's impossible to reach the ideas. So you may find, for instance, a person who could be a Baal Taiva and be a great mathematician. Yes, it's possible. A person could be a Baal Taiva and he could be a great politician or a Baal Taiva and be great in specific areas. But he cannot be great as a metaphysician. It's impossible. Because a metaphysician means that he has to be able to see the whole of reality objectively. And this man is not in reality. This man is in a psychological state. He's tied to a primitive psychological state which he can't break out of. So the taivas is not just an isolated taiva. That's what people don't understand. That's what people think, why can't I enjoy my taivas? And then after, I'll enjoy my taivas for half an hour. Then next I'll think. You may be able to think. It's true. And you may be able to work out some very nice thoughts. It's also true. And you may be a great genius. It's possible. But you will never be able to work out any true concepts with regard to the universe. With regard to metaphysics. Because you cannot get out of this system in order to get into true reality. That's what the Rambam maintains. That's the Rambam's thesis. That's why the Rambam always talks about the taivas being harmful. People don't understand. They think it's like Divrei Musar. Not Divrei Musar the Rambam's talking about. The Rambam is telling you objectively you cannot be in the world of objective reality when you're really rooted in the world of a psychological reality. The taivas is not a specific thing. You cannot isolate a taiva and say, I'm going to enjoy this taiva. The other taivas I'm not involved in. It's not true. Because the moment you're tied to one taiva, this taiva stems from a whole frame of mind. It's a frame of mind. It's not a specific. That's what people make a mistake. They don't understand. It's not a specific thing. It's a whole frame of mind. And in that frame of mind, it's impossible to investigate or to have any concept of the actual universe in terms of metaphysics. You see, that's what the Rambam emphasizes, the idea of Achdus Hashem. That's the idea. That's the universal which a person. He could be a great mathematician, true. He could do anything in specific. But this area is closed to him because this, the knowledge of this area goes too much against his grain, which is rooted in a false world. He has to live in a totally false world. He has to live in a false world which satisfies his emotions and his instincts. And that false world will never permit him to penetrate into the real objective world. He couldn't tolerate that. Couldn't tolerate it. Chazal say, what the Rambam is talking about is likones lepardes, what Chazal called. And Chazal say that there were four people that went into the pardes, mentioned in many times, Rabbi Akiva, and then Acher, and Rabbi Lozer, and the only one that was nichnas b'shalom, yetzah b'shalom, was Rabbi Akiva. But Acher became a kefer, became an apikaris. And then you had one of them died, and one went crazy. What it meant is that they could not tolerate the view that they saw of objective reality. They could not tolerate. That's what the Rambam says. They couldn't tolerate that view, and that's because they could not get out of it. They could not get it. Now I want you to understand something. Do not think anyone. I don't want anyone to walk away from here to think that the next thing they're going to do is just control all their taivas, you know what I mean? And they're going to become great metaphysicians. It doesn't work so simply. Yeah. That you shouldn't think also, he says, but there's another person. It's also the possible of a person who is a nausea, for instance, and he removes himself from the enjoyments, from the madanim, from the luxuries, from whatever, and he only takes what he needs for himself physically. You see, he says, and he goes according. He has everything in moderation. He says, and he's perfected ethically, but he has no knowledge. He says that's the counterpart of the other individual. He says, this person also is missing, lacking in perfection. But, the Rambam says, he is more perfected than the first one. Interesting. Aval hu yoser sholom an arishon. You have it in your... It's an interesting thing. He says, but the only thing is that the activities that he does are not really on the in the right way. It's an interesting thing the way the Rambam explains it. It's very beautiful. I mean, he says like this. He says, but that which he does, eino mal derech nachona, are not along the right path, and not along the true path. Very interesting. Okay, and that's why Chazal say, ein bur yirei chet, v'loy amaretz chosid. Okay. Said he's more perfected. The first person that the Rambam is talking about is a person who has a tremendous intellect, but he's involved in taivas. Doesn't control, and taivas don't mean just a chilush siya. Oh, you understand? Taivas mean any crazy emotions. Any crazy emotions that overpower a person. So, because I told you, it's a whole framework. It's a whole framework. There are different manifestations, but it's a whole framework. Now, it's an interesting thing, the Rambam says. A person who's intelligent, but is steeped in taivas, is not as perfected as a person who has control over his taivas and doesn't have chachma. It's an interesting thing. Is it an amazing thing? You have that in your translation also?
In this one?
Yeah. Why is it so? What's the reason? The man is not steeped in a false system. See, like the first one. The first one, with all his knowledge, what good is his knowledge? But the man is steeped in a false system. His reality, he's not in line with reality. The second one is not steeped in a false system, but yet he hasn't seen the true system. See, whatever he does is sort of like the Rambam says, it's good, but it's not al derech nachona. Not al derech nachona. It means when he has knowledge, he'll be able to see that which he's doing, he'll do it in a different way. In a different way. See? But he's not steeped in the He's not steeped in the false system like the other one. The other one is far gone, because the other one, even though he has knowledge, you see, he can't break out of the system. So he's really attached very strongly to the to this primitive system. Can't get out of it. The other one is not attached. You see, he can exert control over it. But the only thing is that he doesn't have knowledge yet of how exactly to construe reality. When he gains that knowledge, he'll be able to remove himself from, or he'll be able to straighten out the things, the way he's living. Yes.
What about
a person from right? The Rambam's not talking about a person who does crazy things. The person that means the person is involved in another emotion. That's where the person is. He's talking about. In other words, where a person, rolls in the snow, does different things, all these different crazy things. Then he's involved in another crazy emotion. That's not what the Rambam's talking about. Okay, that's why I told you the Rambam mentioned achilushia. It's not just achilushia. He's talking about the general psychological framework. But it's possible to have a person who is not really steeped. You see. In the taivas and either emotion to excess, and he lives basically rationally, but he's not a chacham. He lives rationally, but he's not really a chacham. Doesn't have the knowledge. What this Rambam is, for whom is this advice given? I mean, the Rambam is giving advice to keep away from the taivas, right? For whom is the advice given? For a person who is not on the level, you say. I mean, if you tell him keep away from the taivas, he's just going to have to initiate another emotion in order to do that. So again, he's not on the level. See? And that's why it's not so easy to understand. When the Rambam's talking about the person who is a sholem in midos, the Rambam doesn't mean that he's exerting tremendous amount of self-control. Tremendous amount of control, that's not really much of a level already. It's forced, like the Rambam says. The level is supposed to be, that is prerequisite, but the level is supposed to be where it goes naturally. So the Rambam has to mean a person whose nature is such that he doesn't have much energy steeped in the world of taivas, even though he doesn't have chokhmah, but he doesn't have much energy steeped in the world of taivas. That's the second guy. He says, so he's really not really perfected, because he doesn't have the knowledge, but naturally he seems to be living on a pretty high level. The question is, for whom is the Rambam giving this advice, though, to keep away from the taivas? I mean, for who? So there's only one answer, really. You can't identify the person. You can only identify him by way of his characteristics. The Rambam is obviously talking about an individual who has the ability to swing his energies and to control his energies. That's a tremendous level. That's a tremendous level. A person who has that ability to really exert control over his energies, to remove the energies from the area of the taivas and to direct them into another area. That's a person on a very unusual state of mind. It's not something which you'll find very often. Okay? Part of the problem... See, like the Rambam says, for instance, in the other Rambam in Hilchos Teshuvah, talks about, for instance, Oved Me'ava, a person who naturally does what is good. The Rambam in Perek Asir Hilchos Teshuvah. Oved Me'ava, Osek B'Torah, Mitzvah, Sehalach, Mitzvah, Zechach, Malam, Nedavah, Shabalam. Okay. And he says, like, O'mayla zui, mayla gdolam od. Ve'ein kol chacham zochala, the Rambam says. Every chacham is not zocha to this level. It's an interesting thing. And Ram says chacham, he means a real chacham. Not every chacham is zocha to this. What is necessary for a person to reach that level? How does a person arrive at such a level? This is something that you won't find too much on. The ones you won't find too much material about it. See, with Chazal, really, what they did was they pointed out the different states of mind and how the psychological makeup of man is constructed. And how his energies can be diverted to a lower part of his nature or to a higher part of his nature. And there is a certain individual who is in a position to direct his energies. Some people are not in a position to direct their energies. When the Rambam, that's why I said, when the Rambam gives advice to keep away from the taiva, it's not just don't walk away and think, you know, just control my taiva, and that's it, I'm on the level. No, it's not so simple. Because to exert control over your taivas could just be another crazy emotion, just an expression of another year. You're swapping one emotion for another. The Rambam's talking about a person who has really, you understand that a lot of a desire for religiosity can stem from a certain type of egocentricity. Yeah, there's no question about it. And if you get involved in that emotion, you certainly aren't improving yourself any more than the other emotion. So you have to be careful. Not so simple. Not so simply done. But the person has to. Simultaneously, of course, there's another emotion that a person just doesn't want to exert any control over himself. That's an emotion that today I think is most rampant. A person does not enjoy exerting control over himself because he feels that he has to have every taiva. That's the most harmful emotion. That's the most harmful emotion. Yeah. That is the most harmful emotion. But I'm just telling you that it's not so simple. It's not so simple to for a person to raise himself out of this state of mind that he finds himself in. Where the Rambam gives you advice, he's talking about a person that's on a very high level already. A person has the ability to somehow or other control his energies. It's a very, very unique and very rare mental state of mind that the Rambam is discussing. Not such an easy thing. Okay.
What?
Says that it's not al derech emes, but it is some type of perfection, right? Well, what is the difference between the derech emes and the derech that's not such a derech emes? If we could go into it a little bit. And this person doesn't have knowledge, definitely has to have some idea of why he's living that way. I mean, why is he living that way? Why is he? What? You have to just give a little bit of a description, okay? What? The person who, you see, you have to understand, a person who is in the state where he has, where with relationship to his taivas, he has moderation. That's the realm considers the highest level. Has moderation, okay? Now, a person who lives that way has a very enjoyable life. He has a very enjoyable life, see? And it's a good state. Now, a person could be in that state, but he's in that state because of the fact that he enjoys life. And it is true that he will, but that's not the derech emes. And the derech emes, the reason why he's in that state is because his energies are directed somewhere else. It's a different type of, he has a different vision. In the derech emes, he has a certain vision which results in him living in moderation. You see? And living in moderation is just a result. Whereas for the person who is ignorant, he is living in moderation for the sake of having an enjoyable life. It's a different thing. It's not al-derech emes. Al-derech emes is where the person has a certain view, a metaphysical view, and it naturally results that he will live in moderation. Because of the fact that his mind's eye is always attached to that view. It's a different idea. He's in the world of universals. In the world of universals, achil ushi is unimportant. And he will only eat naturally what he needs. See? But the person who the Rambam says is perfected, but he's a boor, or he's an amoretz, what the Rambam means is that he lives in moderation. He's not really attached. No instinct has a tremendous hold on him, but he does it because he enjoys life that way. And he's right. He has a more enjoyable life than the other person, than the person that's overpowered by the emotions. No question about it. He has a more enjoyable life. But that's not the derech ha'emes, the Rambam says, and it's not a derech nechona. Not still. Not. Why isn't it derech nechona? Because the reason why. The moderate guy is the derech emes guy.
Yeah.
Okay. The moderate person, like I said, is a person. I just told you, the moderate person is a person who does not. Who is not overpowered by any strong emotions. He lives evenly, kava hayasher. He lives in moderation. He's not over top of any emotions, and he lives a very good life. He lives a very good life.
What's the cause of that?
Person who, no, he has peace of mind. I don't mean enjoyment. Yeah, the word enjoyment. Peaceful. He has a very peaceful, relaxed, enjoyable existence. I don't mean enjoy life. The word enjoyment is being used in two ways here. Okay, being used to loosely. All right. Person is pulled, controlled by certain tivus. He's controlled by that. He has a draw. He feels a draw. Yeah. So that shows that certain points of the psychological reality have a tremendous hold over him, control over him. He's compulsive. He's under compulsions. That's the first individual. Try to draw clear lines between the three types of lives that the Rambam is describing. Okay. Now the first type of life is where the individual is overpowered by a certain psychological force. Now, it doesn't make any difference whether this psychological force, you see, is the taiva sachila, or it's a psychological force that he's a great person because he controls his taiva sachila. It's in one case it's egomania, and the other case it's taiva mania, whatever you want to call it. All right? So the thing is like this. In either event, the individual is overpowered by some compulsion. He just swings from one to the other. And neither one of those is really really perfection. In the second state of mind that the Rambam is describing, it's where a person lives in moderation, because simply he recognizes that in terms of his reality, this is the proper way to live, and according to the way his nature is, this is the best way for him to live his life. That's all. Okay? So he's not attached to any fantasies, any crazy fantasies. He's just attached to reality of living his life properly. See? It's worked out according to where he sees this is the proper life, this is the best way to live. Very simple, very natural. That's it. That's the second. What? Trip, any trip for fame, for a lot of wealth, for any of these type of crazy things. He's not any other. He realized that just something to enjoy your life, you have to understand what your nature is and be in line with that nature and live in moderation according to that nature. That's what the... Right. That's right. That's a certain... The Rama's talking about that's an ethical perfection. And the Rambam says that a person that has that perfection is more perfected than the person who is a brilliant mind but is overpowered by the crazy emotions. Because he's completely out of reality. Third individual that the Rambam is discussing, the one that's al derech ha-emes v'al derech ha-nachona, the third individual is a different person altogether. This is a person that the Rambam describes in the Mora. It's a person who has before his mind's eye, he's enraptured by a certain vision of ultimate reality. Say. This is a metaphysician. And the reason why he lives in moderation is the result of the vision that he sees. It's a different thing altogether. That's Derech Nechona. That's what the Rambam means by Derech Nechona and Derech Ha'emes. It's a totally different state of mind, different frame of mind. Those are the three people. Okay, is it clear? Like I said, once again, the problem is when people read these parts of the Rambam, so they get false ideas because they think that it's just a very simple thing. I just control my taiva sachil shi, and then I'm going to be on the level. Not such a simple thing. But simultaneously, not a simple thing. How to get to the level is not really spelled out by Chazal. And it could be there are good reasons why they don't do it. You know why they don't spell it out? Because it's a dangerous path. It's a dangerous path. Essentially, there's a lot of pitfalls along the road. And Chazal just didn't go into it. They just gave basic ideas. If you delve into those ideas, you'll understand certain things, and the person who has the ability will move ahead in that way. You'll soon see. As a matter of fact, what follows in the Rambam right after this is really sort of an explanation to why it's lacking to go from one stage to another. Why Chazal don't really tell you exactly how to do it. Yes. I just don't want to leave without mentioning one thing. Like I said before, you know, there is from what we said, there a person can walk away with a very dangerous complacency, because a person can feel, well, look, I mean, I'm not going to reach, you know, I can't control my typhus because I'm still involved in one type or another, and therefore the best thing is just to allow myself to go. Like I tell you, permissiveness. That is permissiveness is really the curse of this generation. I mean, really, if you take a look, that really is what destroys this generation. That is the worst possible thing. And unfortunately, it's something which is which procreates itself. It breeds itself, because the person that feels permissive towards himself will be permissive towards his children, and then they'll be raised the same way, and it keeps on going. It's like neuroses breeds neuroses. Same type of thing. The very dangerous thing. The Rambam emphasizes Kovishis Yitro is a tremendous level. But if you don't do Kovishis Yitro, you absolutely get nowhere. A person that's permissive simply will never move from the spot. A person, in order for a person to move from the spot, there has to be some type of, he has to exert some type of force. That's why the Rambam says that Kovishis Yitro is a level. Of course, the highest level is Ovid Me'avah. Everybody would like to be an Ovid Me'avah. Not so much because they really understand what Ovid Me'avah is, but because they don't like Kovishis Yitro. That's what it is. That is a bad, that's a very bad thing. It's a bad thing. The road to perfection is a very subtle thing. I mean, that's a simple thing, you know. Most people just get caught up in one emotion or another, and they just stay in one place. But I want to emphasize that Kovishis Yitro is important, but it should be done. It should be done like the Rambam says, Kovishis Yitro Bedato, the Rambam emphasizes. That there is such a thing as Kovishis Yitro Bedato, that a person should act rationally, should exert rationality, and should control his typhus. Doesn't mean you don't have to become an egomaniac, but you can control your typhus in a rational way. Without Kovishis Yitro, is nothing. Without Kvishi Yitzhi, you cannot move from the spot. I mean, I have to emphasize that. Okay. But the Rambam is a method to perfect yourself. And like I said, there's not too much information about, of course, we know Kvishi Yitzhi, you have to control the typhus if you want to get anywhere, even for a step. And you have to control a person has to use his das, has to try to keep in line with his das. That itself is a big, has to exert a lot of control over. But how to get to the various steps and to reach perfection, like I said, there's not too much information about it. Yes. Let me just say this. There is one thing, it's not that there's no guidelines. The guideline for perfection is two things, really. Vishas Ayetzer and pursuit of Das. Those two things are done simultaneously, right. Those two things are done simultaneously, then that is the only way that a person can ever hope to reach, to improve himself. Those two things simultaneously. That we know. Even though the particulars of transitions from different stages we don't really know too much about, like I said. But what are the general guidelines? Definitely two things. Krisha Yetzer and pursuit of Das. There's no question about that. Anyone that says about an Amoritz that he is really a righteous person, even though he doesn't have any knowledge. So the Rambam says, he says he is denying the Chachomim who made a conclusive statement about that, a rigid statement about that, that it's impossible. Absolutely impossible. I maintain precisely that piety has very little to do with wisdom. So whereas our religion is the only one that maintains that piety requires knowledge. Why it is that way is, of course, you have to have knowledge yourself to understand. But that's the difference in Yadus and every other religion. Okay. You'll find this throughout the Torah, because it says, "V'limadatem va'asisem." May the chachma kodem ma'isa. The Torah always brings chachma before ma'isa. She bechachma yagi adam ma'isa, va'ma'isa lo yagi abal chachma. The Rambam says that chachma, the Rambam says, will lead a person to ma'isa, to perfection. But if a person just does the ma'isa, he will never have the chachma, and therefore, since he never has the chachma, he could never really be an Oved Hashem al derech ames. Yes.
What about
over here? He says. Now he says the chachma will bring to ma'isa, but the ma'isa will not bring to chachma. But
okay,
before he said, he had two individuals. He had the person that had chachma and no ma'isa, and he had the person that had ma'isa and had no chachma. And he said the one that had ma'isa without chachma was on a better level than the one that had chachma without ma'isa. Now there he says just the opposite, that the chachma brings to ma'isa and the ma'isa won't bring to chachma. As if chachma is the main thing. I mean, he says, doesn't it seem like a contradiction? What's the answer? One that has ma'isa is more perfected. And here he says, no, the chachma is greater. There would seem to be a contradiction over here. What's the pshat in the Rama? What's the pshat in the Rama? Now the answer is very simple. What's the answer? The Rambam's talking over there on two different planes. The Rambam before is talking about types. In terms of types, if you have a person that has chachma and is fixated in terms of his ethical imperfections, that type of person is on a lower level. He's further away from perfection than an individual who doesn't have these crazy fixations but doesn't have chachma yet. However, given now the Rambam's not talking about types, the Rambam's talking about the method of perfecting yourself. A person that doesn't have, that isn't really tied compulsively to any imperfection. So the Rambam is saying, a normal individual, what really is the thing that moves him towards perfection more than anything else? That no doubt is chachma. In a normal individual, that which moves a person towards perfection more than any other thing is chachma, not ma'isa. Ma'isa is important, because over here we're talking about normal individuals. So ma'isa means he controls himself, keeps himself in moderation, doesn't allow himself to get under the sway of any powerful emotions. True, very good, but that's it. It's a dead end. But chachma will bring a person, will motivate a person to ma'isa al derech ha'emes, you see? And then he'll be able to go further than that. He'll be able to continue. Once it brings to ma'isa, then his chachma goes further. The prime mover is chachma. That's what the Rambam means. The prime mover in the ladder of perfection is chachma. The Rambam before is talking about types. In terms of types, if a person has a great mind, but he's fixated to imperfections, he's on a lower level than a person that doesn't have such knowledge, and he's not fixated to imperfections. It's true. But in terms of how you climb the ladder of perfection, what is the main mover? The main mover is knowledge. That's what the Rambam says. It's two different frameworks. You understand what I mean? Two different frameworks. Not a contradiction. Okay. Rambam says, however, there remains one big question. And here it goes. Rambam's like this. He says, a person will say like this. That, and I'll show you that the way we learn Pshat until now is right, just from what he says over here. So he says, a person could say that you have already said that God's knowledge did not create anything for nothing, but everything is created for a purpose. And that everything that's in the sublunary world, the most perfected is man. Right? And the whole purpose of man is that he should be able to perceive the abstract ideas, the metaphysical concepts. If that's the case, he says, why did God create all these people who cannot really have abstract notions? And we see that most people do not have any chachma, but rather they run after taiva. And most people don't really have metaphysical knowledge. Not even on the level to even study it. Right? And a person who is a real chacham, who despises the world, despises the physical typhus is one among many. You will only find one of them in generations. The doesn't say one. Whether the Rambam said one in every generation, one in a generation, or one among generations, whatever it is, it's very rare. Not going to answer his question. All right? Okay. Okay? Yes. The Rambam says, in a democratic society, it's very hard to answer, to accept. But he says the answer is like this, that these people are found, the rest of mankind are found for two reasons. One reason is that they should serve this one perfected individual. People try to bring about the right, try to bring about the implementation of this concept.
For themselves,
right. Now he says like this. What? He says, because if everybody in the world was searching for knowledge, and they were all philosophers, he says, the whole Tikkun Olam, all of civilization would be lost. From the living in a very few days. Yomim Watan, very few days. It wouldn't take long. Before there would be, we witness total destruction. Because a person is very needy, the Rambam says. He's very needy. He needs a lot of things. You see, animals don't require much in order to survive. But he has to have plowing and harvesting and threshing and grinding and baking and to make different vessels for different instruments for these activities. What?
For automation,
right? But we'll soon see. In order to have his food, that's true. It says, and also a person would have to learn how to weave and all these different things, how to build a house. All these malachas are very very time consuming and very complex and require a lot of effort. And that's like it says, and there isn't enough in the life of Mr. Shelach that would allow a person to learn all these malachas in order for him to live, even to live an existence which is very meager. So yes, he says, when is he going to find time to learn and to get chachmah? He says, for that reason, it's necessary to have the other people in order that they should be involved in doing all these things. So that the chacham, the wise man, should find whatever he needs readily available. And therefore, chachmah will exist. He says, and how nice, how wonderful is the statement of the one who said, do they quote who it is actually?
Yeah.
Who it is said, Lulei ha-mishtagim nishir olam char. If it wasn't for the crazy people, the world would be desolate. Because there is not to be found a craziness in the world that is equal to the craziness of man. He says, because you take a look at man's state, he says he's very weak physically, he's not really constructed very strongly. He says, and he goes and he travels from one side of the earth to the other, and he goes over deserts, and he goes over oceans in the when it's dangerous. He calls himself dangers in order that he should be able to attain these gold pieces. He says, and then if you observe him further, you'll notice that when he has collected enough of these objects, of these gold pieces, for which he has almost given his life, He says, then he will start giving them out to different people to construct for himself a very strong building on a specific spot on the globe that will last for many, many years. And he knows that he himself will not be able to live that long. He himself will not be able to live long enough to be able to partake of the benefit of that which he has constructed. He says, is there such a craziness like this? He says, and so also, he says, the Tanuge, all the enjoyments of the world, the Ram says, interesting thing. All the enjoyments of the world. What he means by the enjoyments? The entertainment. The world of entertainment. I want you to understand something, that even though the description that the Rambam gives is a particular description, and many people, when they read this description, say, well, today it's not true, because, you're not talking about an isolated individual who has to go through all this trouble and build a house somewhere that'll outlive him. I mean, you don't think in those terms, right? The truth of the matter is that it's the same thing. It's just the example. What the Rambam means is that a person is driven by some crazy fantasy, which as yet man has not been able to really discover what precisely it is. But there is some crazy fantasy that drives man to continue and to acquire possessions that are way beyond his necessities. And this craziness, whether it caused him to go over deserts in the middle of the summer in the time of the Rambam, or take dangerous voyages, and if today you don't have those dangerous voyages, doesn't mean that man is any less crazy today. Because the man, what the Rambam emphasizes, is that the man gives his life for these things. And today he gives his life for it just as much as he did then. He gives his health, he gives his family, he gives his peace of mind. The same craziness exists, it's just a different scene today. But the craziness is just as great, if not maybe even greater. What the Rambam is talking about is the compulsive drive and the fantasy that he feels he's going to get something which he himself doesn't know what it is and can't identify and doesn't know what he's looking for. He's just driven. That's what the Rambam means. Ayeshi goin ba'olam kazeh. Is there such a craziness to be found in the animal kingdom? You won't find such a thing. An animal is more in line with reality. He has what he needs and he's satisfied. He waits. Then dissatisfaction builds up. He goes again, but he goes exactly after what he needs. But man runs after something which he doesn't know what he's running after. He has no knowledge of it. There's something driving him. That's what the Rambam means. Then the Rambam says, V'chein kol tanugei olam heim holos v'sichlos. All the enjoyments of this world, everything that a person considers in the way of pleasure and entertainment, is holos v'sichlos. What the Rambam means is that they are not satisfying. They are not really satisfying. Don't make people happy. And yet, people will still run after these things as if this is going to make him happy. He will cause himself to believe that if he drives a car that's a little bit better, he runs a little smoother, so he will not be able to feel the bumps as much as in another car, that this is going to give him the happiness. See? It's insanity. Absolutely, the person would think about it, see that it's crazy. How much happiness can he achieve out of that? I mean, but he will be convinced that this is going to do it. And when he runs after that and he finds that it doesn't satiate him, instead of recognizing that he's on the wrong trail, he'll continue to further. He'll think he didn't get enough of this, but the same thing. Same craziness. Now we'll try something even better. And he'll always try to go to the highest level, the ultimate that man has achieved in that generation. And then when he reaches that, when he has all of that, you see, he'll try for another fantasy. Usually one that he can't reach. So that's what the Rambam means by the craziness. The craziness is not limited to his illustration. His illustration was particular this time. But unfortunately, with the changing of the scenes, the craziness itself did not change. Now, so the Rambam is like this. The Chachomim called Amei Oretz to a person who doesn't have any Chachma. Why they call him Amei Oretz? He says his only purpose is to establish the earth. Establish Amoris, to establish the earth. But what about, he says, but that's not so simple. There's a question here. He says, what about we see a person that is a shoten achsil, a fool, and he lives very calmly, and he has other people that are serving him and working for him, and it's possible that one of these mishamshim is a very wise individual, is an ish chacham and aron. Happens occasionally. Ve'ein adavar kasha yachshov shemenuchas achsil ahu kemokein oved umechen atov ahu le'isha shechofetz abar l'sidolo. So the Rambam says, you shouldn't think that the objective of this system is what you see before your eyes. That the purpose of the system is that this fool should have a peace of mind and everybody should work for him. He says, you're wrong. Why? Because he says that this individual, the fool, he says, who has a lot of money, a lot of wealth. He says, he will command his servants to build a tremendous palace and to plant a vineyard, very nice vineyard, like the kings did in the past. He says, and it's possible that this palace will be ready for a very righteous individual, a chosid, who will come years later. He says, and one day he will walk by, it'll be a hot day, and he'll walk by, and he'll sit down in the shade of that wall, one of the walls that existed from this great palace. And he says, and this will be a reason why this person will be able to save his life, because of that palace, because of that wall that was there. He says, or he'll take from that vineyard, from that desolate palace, there's a vineyard, there's still something growing over there, he'll take some grapes over there, and he'll make a kos yayin. He'll make a kos yayin. And he'll drink it, and it'll save his life. He says that was the. He says that is the minig of God and his chachma. That this is the chachmas Hashem, that God brings about things in a very hidden way from very distant sources. You see, he says that that's why Ben Zoma said, when he was standing on Har Abayis and he saw all the Jews that were going up to the Rego, and he said, Boruch Sheboruch Kol Eile Lishrasini. Ki Hoya Olav HaShalom Yachid Bedaro. Because Ben Zoma was a Yachid in his generation. Okay? What the Rambam is saying is, What the Rambam is saying. But the Rambam saying is that it only sounds far-fetched to you because you don't really appreciate the true value of Chachma. You don't understand how God looks at the world. We'll soon see. We'll get back to it soon. When we finish the Mimer, you'll see. If you go through the Mimer, you'll see what he means. Now, before we finish, just like this. The Rambam says, like this. Now he goes on, he says, there's another reason why these people were created. In order, he says, now the first reason, the second reason is like this. The second reason is in order to create a society for the Chacham. In order to create a society for the Chacham, not just in terms of his needs, in terms of his physical needs, but in order to create a society. He says, Shelo Yisharu Shenemim. He says, and maybe you'll think this isn't that important, but I want you to know it's more important than the first reason. More important than the first. He says, because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused Rishayim to exist in Eretz Yisrael in order that there should be a civilization to remove the Shimimon Nafsho Sachasidim. Lo agarshena penecha b'shona echos penti yaret shimama. V'zein yin pishu gam ken chachomim. They said, Mai ki ze kol adam, kol olam kulo nivra elo l'tzava ze. Pirish lo hasir Atzvo, Atzovo, Veshimamon Yechiduso. It's an interesting thing, huh? What's the Lashon you have over there? You see, the Rambam was, even though the Rambam was, centuries ago, you see how perceptive an individual he was. He recognized that there is a deep-rooted need in man for his psychological well-being. He says, don't underestimate this. He makes a point of it. Don't underestimate this. This is very important, extremely important. Because man's psychological nature is deeper than it first meets the eye. And he needs to have a certain situation in order to have a psychological frame of mind that he could flourish. That's what the Rambam says. An interesting thing. He says, and society is important, plays an important role in creating this frame of mind. If he was alone and nobody else was in the world, only these few chachamim, he says he would not be able to function properly. An interesting thing. Yeah. It brings to mind what the Rambam says in the Morah. The Rambam says in the Morah, he says that if a person knows that another person exists, it removes his loneliness. He says, even though he has nothing to do with that person. The Rambam says, why this is so, is not so easy to explain rationally. Say, you have nothing to do with that person, what do you care if he exists or not? But he says it has to do with an in-depth understanding of the psychological nature of man. We cannot underestimate the importance of psychological well-being and what is necessary, those factors that are necessary in order to promote psychological well-being. That's what the Rambam says. This is very important. He says, even more important than the first. Because the first, you think, will be more important than physical necessity. He says, no, this is even more important.
The first one explains
okay.
Why.
Doesn't go into it. Doesn't go into it. Okay. One thing clear. A person will say, what kind of balagaiva was Ben Zoma, and also Reb Shim Ben Yechoi. Ben Zoma said, all these Jews, all these people were created just for me. I mean, very nice to say, you know? We'd have a name for somebody who went around saying such things, right? Yeah, people are even afraid to say such things, even though they may think it. But and also Rav Shimon ben Yochai, Reisi b'nei Aliyah, v'hinei mu'atim, just there's only me and my son, you know. I mean, how could a person say such a thing? I mean, this is really something that caters to the lowest part of man, which wants to make himself great for nothing. What's the pshat? You have to understand the motivation of the statement. You have to understand the motivation, the frame of mind of the individual who made that statement. Otherwise, of course, such a statement caters to a person's egocentricity. But the frame of mind is as follows. A person who appreciates Chochmas Hashem loses his own estimation of himself. As a matter of fact, he loses sight of himself. Because I told you before, the person that the Rambam is talking about is a person that has a constant vision of Chochmas Hashem in front of him. And when a person is constantly involved in that thing, in that vision, in seeing such things attached to that, so his own self as an individual means nothing, and he loses sight of himself, forgets about himself. Now, all Ben Zoma said was, what he was enjoying was a part of the vision of how God created the system. There was nothing attached personally to he himself, because he was already past the stage where his importance as an individual had any value. That's why it was not a statement of gaiva. But for any other individual, it certainly would be a statement of gaiva, because most people's first concern is themselves. So any statement which caters to that emotion is not a very good thing. I mean, it's something which is motivated by a bad motivation. But these chazal. And the same thing with Rav Shimon ben Yochai also. Rav Shimon ben Yochai, when these people saw and understood Maisa Merkava, Maisa Merkava means the individual has very little worth. He loses sight of himself completely, like I said. And therefore, all he's enthralled with is his system. And he was just making a statement of how great God's Chachma is in terms of the system. He happened to be the individual, but that didn't mean anything. See? That's why... That's a different level. That's why Chazal made that they were able to make such statements. Okay. Now, that's true. Donnie mentioned a very good point. The Gemara Chagiga says, It's in what daf is in Chagiga? What daf? It's on daf Yudal on the base. So one of the four people that went into the parties that we were discussing before was Ben Zoma, and Ben Zoma went crazy. That's right. So you see that even, I mean, the level of perfection that Yadus holds, envisions, the level of perfection is not, it's the highest possible. It's not something which, like the Ram says, Lav kol chacham zochala. Even to be an Oved me'ava, the Ram says, for a person just to be Oved Hashem me'ava is something which lav kol chacham zochala. That's what the Ram says. Not every chacham is zochal to that level. So we're talking about extremely high levels over here. Okay. But regardless of whether or not we can ever achieve such a level, you see, still a person, Yadis demands that a person has to have knowledge of what the system is. On the contrary, they'll have a better idea of his own position. Now, so the Ram says, yes. The Ram says, when you understand and you learn from their words, these two inyanim, the Chachma and Maisa, when you understand what real perfection is, he says, you'll know what it means, Shein lo lakadosh baruch hu balomo ala arba mashal halacha. He says, then you'll understand what it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu only has in this world the Dalet Amos Shel Halacha. Does he say anything more in the I'm sorry, I skipped something. V'mken nisbayar mikol shor amasha amarnu shehakavona bebriyas kol mashi yesh besocho, and everything was created for a purpose, is ein ele ish sholem kol el hachokma v'maisa, that the whole purpose is to have this perfected individual. Alright? So one second. So what does he say? And that's what Chazal meant when they said, Ein lo lakadosh baruch hu ba'olamo eladalet ames shel halacha. Because you have different types of individuals, and like the Ram explains before, the reason why the Meshtagim, the most of the people are Meshtagim. The Meshtagim are crazy people are created in order to serve this one person. By the way, I mean, what the Ram is saying, when the Ram mentions that Lulei HaMeshtagim Hoya Ha'olam Charev, what the Ram is saying is, what does it mean, HaMeshtagim? How can you call people crazy if that's everybody? The answer is, what the Ram is saying is that the normal personality is really crazy metaphysically. That's what the Ram is saying. The normal personality is crazy metaphysically. There's different types of normalcy. If you judge normalcy by their average person, so of course you're going to say that these are the normal people. Yes, they're normal in terms of an average. But functionally, metaphysically, they're essentially crazy. It's essentially nonsensical, irrational. So there's only one normal individual. The only real one functionally normal individual is a person who is on this level, the one individual, Yachad Bedar. That's what the Rambam says. But you have to understand, of course, there are different levels of craziness. What a psychologist aspires is to produce a person who is normally crazy. Okay? Because there are people who are crazy, so crazy that they can't even be considered mishtagim. See, they can't even be considered. The psychologist tries to produce a normal individual who is normally, functionally, he functions at least. He functions irrationally. There are situations where the person is too tied up with his emotions, can't even function irrationally. See? But what the Rambam is saying is, regardless of numbers, we see that man per se, what we call normal man, is a crazy type of existence. And there's only one real normal existence. It means that the person functions in harmony and rationally and has the best life, and that is the person who is the great metaphysician. That's what the Rambam says. Okay? Now the Rambam says, now you'll understand, Ein lo lakadosh baruch hu balomo ella dalet amos shel halacha bilvad. Just tell me, if you could isolate briefly, what is the Rambam, how would you explain that maima? There really are two ways that the Rambam explained the maima. Two ways that the Rambam explained the maima. What are the two ways? Two ways like this, that first of all, in order, in a general way, and then in a specific way. See? First of all, in a general way, that you have to have all these trades and all these things in order the Chacham should find whatever he needs. It's a general way. Now the Chacham, since you have a society which works on specialization, And the specialization is it's tremendously economical. So Chachma doesn't need much in this world. In this society, if a person wanted to be a Chacham, by the way, in this society, he'd be able to make use of what the Rambam says. Because, you see, there's so much taiva that that if a person wants to live simply, he really can spend this time with Chachma. There's nothing stopping him. But what stops him is the craziness of the rest of the world, see? But actually himself, personally, he'd be able to do it very easily because things are very, the commodities are really very cheap today. They estimate, I mean, people are always complaining about inflation, but that's not the right way to measure it. You have to take a look at how much time a person had to spend to earn his food years ago, proportionally. Proportionally today, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable advance. Yeah, right, how much leisure time? Right, exactly. So, that's one way. But a second, a general way. A second way is, the specific way is through a specific hashgacha. See, a specific hashgacha. Where the Chacham is walking along the road and this whole palace, like the Rambam says, was created. This whole palace, like the Rambam says, was created for the day that this Chacham walks by. He says, yeah, and he sits in the shade. See? That's right. So, that's what it means. Ein lo kadosh baruch hu ba'olamo ela dalet amas shel halacha means that God relates both generally and specifically. Generally and specifically. Through the general hashgacha and through the specific hashgacha also. You see? That God relates to the specific hashgacha also for the dalet amas shel halacha, for this one individual. Now, even though what the Rambam wants to bring out with that mashal, what does the Rambam want to bring out with that mashal of the king that had a palace and the whole business? I mean, then years go by, centuries go by, it becomes desolate. What the Rambam wants to bring out is that's precisely what Chazal said. Ein lo lakadosh baruch hu ba'olamo ela dalet amas shel halacha meant that the reason why this sounds absurd to you is because you don't have a proper notion, you don't have a proper value system. I say, how could you have all these people and everything for this one Chacham? Sounds crazy. He has one little individual and all these people that lived and they lived their lives and the man was involved in his fantasies and he died and all the servants died and it's desolate now. The whole palace is nothing. But a wall remained and the Chacham came by and sat in the shade. See, it sounds crazy. No. That's precisely what Chazal say. Ein lo lakadosh baruch hu ba'olamo dalet amas shel halacha. It's because you don't have a correct concept of what the value system is. Your value system is distorted. You say, how could it be? All these people for this one more. No, we don't understand. All these things are nothing. All these people are worthless because the only thing that God is concerned with is the Dalai Lama Shalach. That's his whole objective. That's the only objective. So that's why God is only concerned with that. That's what it means. Ain lo lakadosh baruch hu ba'olamo la Dalai Lama Shalach. It's a mashal. But the Rambam, of course, said, when the Rambam asked the question, when he said originally, he said about Shem Ve'ever, how does he answer that question? He said, in the time of Shem Ve'ever, there was no halacha. So how did he answer the question? How did the Rambam answer the question? What? So the Rambam said, halacha does not mean. Halacha does not mean, right. So what really, now I want to ask you. The Rambam said, why did the Rambam elaborate on this whole thing? Tremendous elaboration. A lot of, we're very happy to elaborate because he gave us some beautiful concepts. But the question is, why does it belong here? He wanted to explain. His objective was to explain what Agada is and how it works. And he said, now this is a mashal. I'm giving you a mashal. Once you see this, you'll know the other ones. What would you tell me the Rambam... can you tell me a formula the Rambam taught us from this... from the way he explained the Chazal that he could apply it to other Chazal? Because he says that this is a dogma. That's our purpose. Okay? The thing is like this. You'll notice the Rambam said halacha is not just halacha, it's metaphysics. Right? So why did they use the term halacha? And you see, the thing is like this. They wrote it in a way that it appeals, it has a certain appeal to the masses of individuals. See? It has a certain appeal, a certain emotional appeal for the mass of individuals. And therefore, they use certain term which the statement will have some meaning. Because otherwise, you see, if it doesn't have any meaning, if you're trying to perfect somebody and you're telling them a statement, and you expect them to understand the statement years later, the statement has to have some, has to be catchy, has to have some attraction to it. You can't expect them to maintain in his mind a statement that just has no meaning. So what the Rambam says is the method of Chazal was to take the idea and cloak it in a certain type of, to dress it up in a certain way that it appeals to the emotions. That's what the Rambam is, that's what the Rambam says. So Ein lo lakash baruch hu balom al dalam shalach levat. Everybody loves it. Chazal, that's it. Because it has a certain, it has a certain emotional appeal, exactly. But the Rambam says, the thing is like this, he says. What the Rambam says is that there are three stages in understanding Chazal. The first stage is where what the Chazal say appeal to you naturally. That's the first stage. That's the person who doesn't have any knowledge. The second stage is where you gain knowledge and you see the Chazal doesn't make any sense. That's where the Rambam says, what do you mean? What about before and Shem Vever? There was no halacha then. So what did God have? He had nothing. Doesn't make any sense. See? That is the second stage. That's where a person gets chachma. The third stage is where he gains real knowledge and he sees precisely what Chazal meant by the statement. The statement unfolds and he sees that what the Rambam wrote over here, a few pages, is all included in one sentence. Ein lo lakash baruch hu ba'olamo ala dalet amashal alacha bovad. That's what it means. It means that the whole objective of the creation is only this dalet amashal alacha. And everything else is only a means. And therefore, things that we see that look absurd to us, they're only absurd to us because we don't have any real knowledge, philosophical knowledge. If we have philosophical knowledge, we'd really see what the truth is, we'd appreciate it, see? That's what the Rambam says. That's the third level. The third level is the uncovering. We uncover what the Chazal really mean. That's the Rambam. Now the Rambam says that every Chazal is constructed in that way. That's the basic construction. Construction is in a way that it has a certain appeal, but then you'll notice if you have knowledge, you'll notice that it doesn't seem to work out properly. And people think when they see that, the Chazal just weren't really on level, that they didn't really understand. That's not true. That the Rambam warns you against. Do not think, he says, that these Chachamim would say things that are foolish. But on the contrary, if you gain the knowledge, you'll see how the Divrei Chazal unfold or unraveled, and they show you tremendous concepts, tremendous ideas. If you're zocher to see it, and one second, there's only one thing I want to tell you. That the difficulty in the Rambam was very emphatic about it. He tried to emphasize that you should not think that what the Chachamim are saying is foolish. The reason is, I think I mentioned it last time, but I want to mention it again. See, when a person sees universals, he's convinced. What convinces a person that science is right, that there's such a thing as science? Because you see, we have ideas, and you see the ideas, you work with the ideas, see, they work, has to be. Same thing when a person sees the Chachma Satara. A person sees a method in learning. And he sees everybody use the method. It's unbelievable. It works out. It's the same concept. So you see that this must be real. The same reason why a person sees that any science is real. Same thing. The Rambam is in a difficult position over here. Because with the system that the Rambam is giving you over here, he saw it's real. Because he was able to see every time. It's the same thing. And it can't just be haphazard that the way the Chazal dress up their statements, you see, in a certain form, they give a certain form, and you'll see, if you look through the form, you'll see, oops, unbelievable. The Rambam was able to see it repeatedly, so the Rambam knew that this is so, but he's trying to impress people who have never seen such a thing, because they're not on their level. That's why the only means he could use was his own authority, and say things emphatically. That's why the Rambam and the Mora also is very authoritative. And people don't like it. There's around us, know this well, read this over a few times. People say, what kind of egomania is this? No, the Rambam said it because the Rambam found himself in a very difficult position. He can't show you the universals because he's not on a level, but he has seen them. See? So the only thing he could use is his authority and hope that you'll rely on the fact that you recognize that he's a chacham, that what he's saying is true. See? That's really what that's why he emphasizes this point in this mimer. He says, I'll show you one mimer. He says, and you should know the others all follow. The Rambam saw that it followed. But for a person who doesn't have the knowledge, of course, the only thing he could do is to accept the Ram's authority and continue to gain knowledge till he sees himself. But of course, the most convincing thing is when you see yourself, how the system, how it works every time, how the Maimar Chazal has a hidden meaning, and you'll see the meaning, you'll see the method, and you'll see precisely that it uncovers fantastic ideas. And that's why the Rambam says, you should never underestimate Agoda. It's unbelievable how far. Halacha, the Rambam says, Halacha, Psak, and Divrei Chachamim is in the, yeah, fine. But Agoda, the Rambam says, the Chazal mentioned, of the utmost importance, because that's perfection itself. Okay, that's
good. Which is Dara?
Halacha, really, the fact that they use halacha has some importance too. Because halacha is the system that raises a person to that level. Like the Rambam says, the halacha has to come first. The halacha is a system that raises a person to the intellectual level. Because it takes his primitive emotions and gives it a logical form. Religion, in our religion, doesn't have just the expressions or outbursts of emotion. Our religion has to have a halachic form. Has to be have a form of chachma. So the halacha really is the instrument that raises them to that level. But they couldn't use metaphysics, because then they'd be giving it away. They had to use the term halacha that'll have an appeal to everybody. Okay. That's it. That's the last year to you. Okay, we're up to the Mishnah in Avos. Perek Rishon, Mishnah, Yud Zion. It says, Shimon the son of Rabban Gamliel, Omer, says, Kol yamai gadalti bein hachachamim, all my life I was raised among these scholars, v'lo matzasi leguf tov mishika. And I didn't find, I never found anything better for a person than silence. Part of the statement. And then he has two more. This first part. Now let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi gives an interesting approach. He says, Evil Macharish Chocham Yechashev. Because it says in Mishlei that a fool that is silent, people consider him to be a Chocham, a wise man. Yeah. So what Shlomo Melech recommends, if you're not too intelligent, you should keep quiet. Okay, fine. So what does that have to do with this? I mean, here it says, what is the principle? V'chein chilef, Rashi says, and also the opposite way. She'in marbe dvarim in b'nei adam, if he speaks a lot with people, v'lechol dovar magdim atzma lahoshiv, and everything that he does, immediately, he always, whenever he has the opportunity, he immediately responds to people, always talks. Afilu m'chacham. Even if he's very wise, Evil Yechashev, he will be considered a fool. Al Kain in Tov Kishika Achatira. Therefore, there is nothing as good as being quiet until you understand. Of course, is that the pasuk in Mishlei is good advice, it's political advice, that if a person wants to appear intelligent, so he should know that it's important that he keeps quiet. Yeah, it's a fact. Evel machrish chachem yachashe. You're fine. Okay, so that's a fact, that the people, when they see somebody that's quiet, they tend to think that he's intelligent. Could be itself, politically itself. But what does that have to do with the perfection? Pirkei Avos, we're dealing with a person perfecting himself, not just with phenomena that have to do with psychological evaluation. And also, where does Rashi get that the reverse is true? How does Rashi know that the reverse is true? That if a person speaks a lot, that even if he's a chacham, he will be considered a fool. I mean, that's not necessarily true. The converse isn't always true. If a person's a fool and he keeps quiet, so they'll think he's wise. But if a person is wise and he speaks, so who says they're not going to think he's wise? He's intelligent.